What's going on, Street Cop fam? I'm Frankie Rodriguez. I am the podcast producer for the Street Cop podcast. Unfortunately, on this episode, you'll notice that our audio on our end, we had some technical difficulties. It doesn't sound the best. However, after discussing with Dennis, we wouldn't want to keep this episode from you guys. It's a really impactful episode with a lot of great information and nuggets and an important message. So thank you guys all for your continued support. And again, our apologies for the technical difficulties. We hope you enjoy the episode and thank you for your support.
I think, you know, confidence is built from you feeling fear and doing it anyways. It's not built from like tiptoeing and like, you know, making sure all the ground is covered before you make a move. It's making the move and figuring it out as you go. That's how the confidence is built. 111, 110.
Street Cop. Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Street Cop Trading Podcast. I'm your host, founder and CEO of Street Cop Trading. My name is Dennis Bonino, and this one is a good one today. A lot of our listeners or people listening to this podcast will appreciate and continue to appreciate the work that we do regarding helping you not only become a better police officer, but making better decisions and getting the deep psychology of why we are who we are, why we're doing what we're doing, and namely, how relationships impact essentially our lives. And so I started following Natalie Bell for a while here on Instagram. She just basically didn't respond to my request from my personal page. We only have 2,500 followers there. But we then messaged her from the Street Cop account and got her to come on. But she's been doing a lot of cool work on Instagram and putting a lot of cool shit out. I don't know if you're doing TikTok as well. I found you on the IG and you're following is skyrocketing, and it's really good stuff. It's really thoughtful shit. So without further ado, Natalie Bell, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Dennis, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So tell us about who you are, where you grew up, and what led you to where you are now and the decision to start doing social media shit.
Yeah, so I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Born and raised here. I'm a nurse, and then I started a life coaching business during COVID. Started posting on social media more consistently over the past couple of years, and then really started on TikTok, and then grew a following through there, and then kind of brought the same ideas that I was posting on TikTok to my Instagram. So in the past, I would say since June, I was at 9,000 followers, and now I'm almost at 92,000. It's been quite a big growth in the past few months, and it's just come from consistency and really just catering to, I think, what people are craving to hear and what people are wanting to connect with, sharing just more authentically and genuinely. So it's been a journey, but it's been exciting, and to see some growth after a long time of posting consistently, it's good to see.
Like listening to a Gary Vee episode when he's like, just keep posting, it'll happen. So you're living proof of it. And you know, the message is good. So I know that the algorithm is rewarding you because it's recognizing that there's a lot of engagement, a lot of likes. So then it starts showing to other accounts, because the name of the game for Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all these platforms is, how do we keep you here? And so people will notice that if you're paying attention to your scrolling your Instagram feed, there's consistency in the things that you're seeing. It's the same thing over and over again. It's similar. If you stop clicking on things that you used to, you'll see less and less of those things. They understand how your brain works.
Yeah.
But it's a good message.
Yeah. I think I found my little niche of just being able to be myself and share lessons that I've learned, but do it in a way that feels good for me, because that means it's going to be more consistent for me. I'm able to show up in the space being myself and sharing my thoughts and sharing my perspectives. And it doesn't come off as me being phony or me being disingenuous. It's just literally me sharing on the camera, talking to my audience.
So tell me about your nursing career. How'd you get into that?
Yeah, I was always interested in the human body, how it works, and was always a very caring person. Love just learning and taking care of people. And so nursing was always just my go-to profession. I've been a nurse almost, let's see, I'm going to show my age here, but like 8 years. So I definitely have a love-hate relationship with it. I think it's tough in the past couple of years, especially during COVID. You saw kind of like the corruption within healthcare and unfortunately, just exposed some things that we need to worry about moving forward. But I love the caring about people, caring for people and about people and being there through some really hard times for them. So it gives me an opportunity to kind of serve in that way. But, you know, nursing is so focused on illness, whereas I would love to start promoting and being a pillar of wellness. So, you know, shifting a little bit here and there, but still maintaining my job and having that kind of as a safety net, if you will.
What kind of position are you holding now as a nurse?
I'm in radiology. So I get patients ready for CT scans, MRI scans. I work in pediatric and adults. So get to see both.
You like kids?
Love kids.
Okay, that's good. The nurturing, the caring thing, I was going to ask that question. With this new following on social media, what have you experienced now that you have 92,000 followers? Are people recognizing you when they see you? I'm getting a lot more opportunities. Tell me about some of that stuff.
Definitely a few more opportunities. I think there's a lot of money that could be made in content creation and, you know, working with brands and things like that. But I've always said I don't want to just promote a brand just to promote a brand. And I want to feel super aligned with what I'm promoting and how I promote it. So I've had some opportunities come my way. I've actually passed on a lot of them just because they don't feel in alignment with who I am and what I usually post and what I actually like. And so that's kind of come my way. And then, yeah, seeing people out and about being like, hey, I follow you on Instagram, love your stuff. That's cool. Good to hear for sure. So
that's legit. Sometimes I'm with my kids and they're like, you know, we'll have people come up to me and they're like, yo, can I get a picture? And my kids still to this day are like, how do you know that guy? How do you know these five guys that came up to you? How do you know this guy? And I'm like, dude. So they're actually used to it. And that's been going for a lot of years. And, you know, we don't really go out with the children beyond the state of New Jersey. So this is our home base. A lot of people do know me here. And so it happens all the time.
How do you still feel, how does that feel when people come up to you and ask for that kind of stuff or recognize? Does it still feel good?
I think that we should be thankful as human beings that somebody finds you so valuable that they want to take time out of their day to stop and take a picture with you. And so it's not about how it makes you feel. It's about how it makes them feel. And one piece of advice I can give you is this. You'll start to catch people doing, you probably already experienced it, this like recognition glance. It's like a double take. They're like, oh shit, it's him. And so there may be times that you misread that. It happens. So typically what I'll do is I recognize people looking at me in that manner. I'll walk over, introduce myself. And every so often somebody's like, yeah, I'm Joe. What's up? And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought, you know, you looked familiar to me. I thought I knew you. My apologies and whatever. And some people will say, oh my God, dude, I didn't want to bother you, but like, I'm like, hey, and then I'll just always offer like, you want to do a picture? Because that's what they really want. That's what all people want. And it's such a small fraction of our time to literally say to somebody, yeah, I appreciate you so much for following me and what you're finding value. And this thing in my head just keeps blinking. And it's this phrase, thank you so much. So you got to keep playing your brain when you meet people who are fans of yours. Just thank you so much.
Okay. Love that.
It's a little... You know, I actually have a lot of empathy and compassion for celebrities because sometimes I need to go out and just be me and goof the fuck off and be absolutely absurd, which I'm really good at doing. And so when I'm in that place with people that I'm very close with being a fucking lunatic, you know, and I don't want to be short with people, but I also don't want to disappoint you. You know what I mean? Because you're looking for this wisdom that we put out. Now's not the time.
Well, you're... A normal human too. Like I always say that by myself. I'm just a human who shares and happens to gain a following based off of just the way that I share. And so I'm just like everybody else. So, it's a weird feeling, but you know, I've had people reach out. I'm sure you have too, but like, just like thanking me and sharing a little part of their story and all. It just feels good to say, thank you for the support and the kind words. I'm happy that you find value in what I share. So, you know, I always say like my Instagram is like my personal journal. So I don't journal. I don't journal like physically. I, I more so share in like a spoken word of, you know, what I'm going through and how I'm feeling. And a lot of times what I share is I'm directly talking to myself. You know, I need to hear what I'm saying. So I share it out loud.
How did you get into, and excuse me if I'm wrong, but theoretically speaking, going into relationship advice? How did we end up here?
I went through some pretty bad breakups. One significant, I was with my high school sweetheart for 10 years. And we engaged, I called off my wedding. And so that was about 5 years ago now. And since then, I've been super passionate about dating and relationships and figuring out how my brain works and how, you know, I relate to other humans and how I heal and heartbreak and grief and all of the healing journey kind of stuff. And so, like I said, like my social media has been kind of like a journal and a way for me to express myself through my own journey of heartbreak and loss and healing. And so that's really where a lot of my content kind of stems from. And then just my own other little relationships that I've had since then, just navigating those.
I'm going to say that dating is like trying to find a diamond in a garbage dump. If you can imagine what that looks like to stare at a fucking hill of garbage and go, there's a diamond right somewhere here. You got to get dirty. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's not going to work out as fast as you think it's going to be. And very, very infrequently, somebody is lucky enough to find that diamond rather quickly. It's very, very unlikely. And so I have theories on that. Good versus great. Some advice I saw recently, but what do you think the likelihood of a high school relationship making it through the rest of your life is, if we had to say statistically? Because I'll listen to your response first, but mine is basically, there's no fucking way it's going to work. And it's very rare that it does.
I think it takes a lot of commitment to loving each other through many stages of your life. I am such a different person than I was at 16 years old when I got together with him. And I think that there's a big possibility that you can grow and grow together. And there's also another big possibility that you could grow apart as you grow up. So yes, I'm thankful that we were able to grow up together, but we, you know, ultimately we started to grow apart in a very drastic way. And so, you know, that can make or break a relationship. So I think, you know, it's a level of understanding and compassion and a commitment to growth through, you know, growing up together and then into adulthood and knowing your partner is going to change from a 15-year-old kid to, you know, a 25-year-old adult.
I think there's also very different mindsets of men and women in their maturity as they continue to grow up. And so the things that I might say often sound very shallow, but there's a lot of truth to them. So I don't know why people don't want to acknowledge conversations where they appear shallow, but they're real. It's the truth. And the truth of the matter is, most men, not all, but most men, and I don't know why this is because I'm not a scientist or a biologist, will often feel like they've missed quite a bit of their life in experiencing different women. I know women typically aren't really the same way. I don't know why it happens for men, but I can tell you by the time I was ready to get married, I literally said to my wife then, you don't have to worry about me thinking about anything else besides this, because I've been there so many times. I know what it is, and it's gotten so monotonous that if it didn't have substance to it, I just was numb. Didn't matter what she looked like or what this had, there was nothing beyond that shallow conversation, even on a sexual level, that was giving me any feeling anymore. So that's been resolved. Now we talk about deep, meaningful relationships here. And that's what I'm feeling here. So I know what this is. I'm not going to run somewhere else because I already know what that is. What can you say to that? Not knowing what the other stuff is.
It's like a fear of missing out.
I mean, I think a lot of men who get married very young or in the same relationship very young will start to think about, what didn't I do? What did the other things look like? How do I know if other things aren't better than this? I think that's the human mind. But when I talk about men in general, I specifically want to address sexually, right? Like, that's really where men's brains go to, where I think maybe women, and I could be wrong in this, might go to, you know, is there somebody who's a nicer person or a better provider? And, you know, that's my guess.
Yeah. I think men are just wired, you know, they're just wired to think more sexually based. And I think women come from more of a place of emotions and feelings. So what could I be missing out on? Could somebody treat me better? Could somebody, you know, be a better partner? Could somebody be a better future husband or future like dad to my kids? Whereas men are maybe thinking more so like, how many more girls could I get with, or how much better could it be, you know, physically with somebody? Is there somebody more attractive that I could get? So I don't necessarily blame men, because I think it's just a being, like, it's a part of genetically, like, what they're wired, how they're wired to think. But at the same time, you know, I do think in today's dating world, is with dating apps and social media, there's more of an increase of that thinking, as opposed to, you know, my parents have been married for 30 plus years and they didn't have social media, they didn't have dating apps. And so they didn't think about all the time, I feel like, the choices and the options, because they just focus on what was right in front of them. And I think nowadays it's a little bit different in that aspect.
I will also say, speaking on behalf of men, and one person that comes to mind right now, it doesn't matter how much of a playboy or a party boy a man might be, if the right girl, let's talk about heterosexual relationships, right? So if the right girl comes across his radar and they click, they connect, and this is essentially his quote unquote soulmate, which is another word that we can discuss. But if this is somebody that they are not willing, or they can at least understand that they can't replace, you can watch somebody literally shut the Playboy shit down and settle down immediately. And the most recent one I saw was Jason Momoa. Here's a guy who can have any girl he wants, essentially. He didn't end up with a Victoria's Secret model. It's not somebody you'd think that Jason Momoa would even bother with, to be quite honest with you. And that reveals to me that this person is so fucking special that it took her physical appearance up to another level based on her humanity and who she is, human being, at least to Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Do you feel like for men, it's more of a right person, right time kind of thing? Where I feel like women, it doesn't really matter the timing. If it's the right person in their eyes, like, they will pursue it. Whereas I feel like sometimes with men, it's, they have to be in the right state of mind. They have to be, you know, financially stable, or, you know, in a place where it's like the right time for them. How do you feel about that?
I think we have to start with mental health. And I don't think a conversation can happen or what happens in a health relationship if you have mental illness on either side. And so I mean that in the most compassionate sense. So that's the first place to start. So there's a lot of things that I say, again, that are not popular. I think there's a good fraction of people out there who are essentially unmarriable because they've done no work on themselves to start. So I think that's the first assessment we have to make, is this person stable? And if they're not, are they working towards getting stable? Because everybody deserves a chance. But the reality is, I see a lot of people trying to make relationships work with people who are fucked up. And that's your first place you got to start, is, who am I dealing with here? Is this person possessing the things that I think would be what I need in an opposite or a partner in this relationship? You make a huge mistake. And a lot of those things are not accounted for because we're attracted to them. You know, I mean, really.
Yeah, we're blinded by their, you know, beauty or their looks. And so a lot of the fundamental values that we look for are sometimes excused because they're good looking and we're attracted to them. So we make excuses for them. Yeah.
What did it say about a girl who is a 9, who's a breathtakingly beautiful, angelic-looking human being, who is looking for somebody to spoil her and give her gifts? I mean, just on that alone, it's everything you need to know. And yet, many men are like, I wish I could be that guy. For what? For fucking 2 months to see what it feels like? And then you literally are just want to kill this other person because they're that, I'm not going to say shallow. This is a person who is not well mentally. And let me say that in the sense of they probably just haven't found themselves or some deep-rooted issues with the fact that they look this way but behave this way. Mm-hmm. Very concerning behavior.
Have you seen that? There might be like TikToks on it, but it's like she's a 10, but she blank. And the guys are like, oh, she's a 5 then. And it's like, it's kind of like that. It's like, okay, you have to look at the whole picture here. Like, yes, she's beautiful, or yes, he's so handsome, but this. And I think you have to consider that when making choices. And is this person a life partner for me? Or is this just a short-term fling that I just want to, you know, prove to myself like, oh, I can get a girl like that.
I like the idea, and I think people would really serve themselves well if they used, is this person a life partner, almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Because why waste time? Is this person a life partner? And I'm going to ask you, this actually leads to my next question. Is this the person that I can spend the rest of my life with? Great, great test to determine whether or not you should continue on in this relationship. So when did you realize in your first relationship, and keep it honest, because I don't care if you listen to this or not, when did you first start having those thoughts like, I don't know. And when do you think he started having those thoughts too?
I don't think he had those thoughts. I was going to book it off. So unfortunately, it's not something that he wanted. I had gut feelings my whole relationship, basically. But it was my first relationship. We were together so young, you know, we had a bond. I feel like coming from a young age and growing up together, and, you know, I wanted it to work, but I knew that there were certain feelings I was feeling that probably shouldn't be feeling when I'm about to be marrying somebody. But for a long time, I just kept shoving those gut feelings under the rug and saying like, oh, it'll get better. Or it'll get better. It'll change. I'll grow to like really be okay with this, or, you know, ignore my feelings basically. But you know, I think when you ignore your feelings for so long, they eventually become so loud that they can't be ignored. And so I think that's kind of what happened once I started to plan a wedding and it became more of a reality. That's when I was like, I can't do this. So
when those initial feelings started, what were you so scared of to depart this relationship?
I think because I you know, there's a lot of love there. Like, I really truly cared about him. And so I think, you know, we think that we're taught to believe basically like love is enough, and love is, you can get through anything as long as you love each other. And there's so many different aspects of a relationship that it's not just about love. Like, yes, that's the foundation and a base, but there's other things like communication and respect and, you know, physical attraction and all of those other things that go into making a relationship work. And so a lot of those subsets of love weren't, my cup wasn't filled in those areas.
This is my biggest thing that I tell people all the fucking time. One of the biggest problems with people is they don't know how to differentiate loving somebody versus being in love with somebody. And so you may have loved him because he's a good human being. You cared about him. You don't want to hurt him and make him feel bad. But the reality is, you learn later on, you were never in love with him. And so a lot of us go through our dating lives like, I guess this is close enough. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, it's not. And so my advice to people is, if you have the patience and the discipline to date properly, when you find love, you'll know what it is, because it'll hit you like a fucking ton of bricks and you will look nowhere else and you'll think, oh my God, I'm the luckiest person in the world. But you've also got to know yourself first. So it really depends on what kind of shit you're dealing with mentally, the trauma in your life, and saying to yourself, or having an honest conversation with yourself, about who you are and who they are. And are you filling gaps because you don't have anybody else? It's a really interesting thing.
It is interesting. I think when you know, you'll know. And if you don't know, you'll be confused or you will not know. Like, it's just one of those things. It's like when you know, kind of that phrase. I didn't know. And so I think
practice. Nobody taught you. Yeah. Your parents tell you this stuff? No, right? Like, how about this? Off the beaten path real quick. Why did you become a nurse? Why did you become a stock trader? Because your parents thought, nurse is a good job. She's this type of person. And go get a good job, $65,000, $70,000 a year. But do that. That's what separates the brains or the futures of kids from a lower middle class area to an upper middle class area and how they progress in life. Because I got to tell you, you go to upper middle class areas and wealthy areas, nobody's becoming a fucking nurse. Nobody's becoming a police officer or a firefighter or a plumber or electrician. And on the other side of it, nobody's becoming a stockbroker, a hedge fund manager, a multi-business owner, a whatever it may be, or digital marketer and all these thoughts and ideas. But biologically, there can't be that much of a separation between human beings. Everybody over here is just dumber than everybody over here. So it's the same thing with love. If you are not seeing somebody or being taught what love is and how to look for it, and especially a lot of us are using our parents who got married in the 70s and the 80s, when divorce was taboo or this is good enough and there wasn't a lot of options. And now it's been 20 years, we got kids, there's nowhere to go now. It's the same fucking thing. How could you know what your potential was if nobody ever told you?
Right.
You're actually finding out what your potential is right now. Mm-hmm. Right? You were a nurse and you're realizing, like, I bet you have these thoughts in your mind, like, fuck, I could probably do anything I want. Right? You can do anything you want.
And I said before, I said the nursing is a safety net kind of thing. And, you know, I feel almost bad saying that because nursing is a great profession and it's provided me with a lot of great experiences and a good money. But I think there are some people who are okay with that being that's their safety net their whole life. And, you know, there's other people that have a mindset of, I want more than this. And, you know, for me, since I started nursing, I've told my mom, I was like, I don't want to work in nursing the rest of my life and be this miserable and, you know, have these long hours. And she was like, honey, that's just what you do. You just work. Like, and I have a different mentality when it comes to my life and what I want it to look like than they do. But that was the mentality that was passed along to me that I'm trying to break free of now.
Right. So both are okay for whoever wants to do what they want to do, but this is Natalie Bell's life.
Mm-hmm.
This is Dennis Bonino's life. My friend Jay, she was my first videographer here. Now she's like my blood relative. Like, I love her to death. I guess why I'm bringing up Jay is her mother just came before. She's actually on part-time bookkeeper to pick up money received for the company. And so Jay had her biggest month this past August of her entire career. When I met her, her mother had her going to college to be an accountant. Jay is New Jersey's and becoming very quickly, and you can follow her at Dakota Visuals on Instagram, one of the country's most sought after videographer photographers. If you wanted to shoot your wedding, it's big bucks.
Yeah.
When I met her, her mother basically was guilting her to school to go be an accountant. And when she came here, I literally told her in like 2 weeks, I've got to quit school. And she was 22. And I'm like, she's like, my mom's going to kill me. And I'm like, I don't fucking care. Bring her in here. This is ridiculous. And so when I tell you that she made a ungodly amount of money in August, I'll tell you off air what it was, but she made a month of August what most people make in a year. No bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And so her mother came before and I said, your daughter is one of the most sought after at 28 years of age. People, she had a crazy August, right? And she goes, yeah. I go, thank God she's not an accountant. Her mother gave me a high five because she was giving me a lot of pushback then. And I said, everybody's got a different role. We know that you loved her and you wanted the best for her.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person I have is my friend Al. She's a police officer here. And I had her on the podcast, but I saw her on social media. I thought she was very interesting. You should follow her. She's cooking with sandwiches. You'll find her. She's a cop. And the conversation in the studio was, why are you a cop? And it was the same story. And so She is shooting with Gordon Ramsay right now.
Mm.
That was, we got her in here, I think, in June, and it's September, and she's in Ireland for like 2 months shooting with Gordon Ramsay. And on top of that, a major NFL star, I believe, was scouting her for a personal chef. And that paid like a lot more than her cop salary. So my suggestion is, if this is the route you'd like to go, you can either start to hit the scale, a little less of this, a little more of this, or jump and grow your wings on the way down. And I think some people should just quit what they're doing now and go do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. I think, you know, confidence is built from you feeling fear and doing it anyways. It's not built from like tiptoeing and like, you know, making sure all the ground is covered before you make a move. It's making the move and figuring it out as you go. That's how the confidence is built. And so a large part of that belief is what's kind of keeping me going forward and doing different things and kind of taking less shifts at the hospital and doing more of what feels really aligned with my growth and where I want to take my life.
I think that you should also, and I don't know if you're doing this already, but take in some, I don't know, 10% of your week or 10% of any kind of education you're doing should be starting the business mindset of, if we're going to transition, you still have to live and money is a top priority for a organization. It's not the why, it's just the thing that keeps the fucking doors open.
Right.
So are you doing anything like that yet? Thinking about that shit?
No, my dad is an accountant, so he makes me think about that stuff. And I don't have the business kind of brain, but it's something that I know I need to develop if I want to make a lot of money.
I will send you some stuff that I think will help you. And making a lot of money and wanting to make a lot of money is a wonderful thing. Because when you make a lot of money, you can help a lot of people. People don't realize that.
Right.
And there's nothing more rewarding than helping people who are less fortunate than you. It's amazing people do that.
Yeah.
Hey guys, if you missed out on the last conference in Nashville, Tennessee, you don't want to miss out on the next one. It's April 28th through May 3rd, Orlando, Florida, the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. You made a mistake missing the last one. You don't want that to happen again on this one. 5 days of some of the best training you're ever going to experience packed into one event. We have an early bird special right now, $50 off. Use 24 early bird on our website, streetcop.com. Look for the conference, click the link, register today. If you want to get significantly better at this profession in 5 days, don't dare miss out on the 2024 Street Cop Conference.
What would you say to Natalie Bell in high school, or maybe post-high school, when you start having the feelings of like, I know this guy's a really good dude and I do love him, but Nat, you're fucking throwing away some significant years of your life. What would you say to yourself then, which might translate to other people now?
Yeah, I think follow your gut. I mean, if your gut is telling you something, it's telling you something for a reason. And it's just going to keep getting louder until you're eventually forced to listen. And so, you know, I never try to have regret because, you know, I was doing the best that I could at the time. And now that I know better, I can do better moving forward. But, you know, I did have those gut feelings and I did have red flags that came up and, you know, caution signs that were kind of yelling at me to say like, hey, yo, this isn't for you, or this isn't going to work, or this isn't what's best for you. But I chose to ignore it for a long time. So I would just tell her not to ignore her gut feelings.
No, I think you said something earlier that was really important. And a friend of mine who used to come on the podcast quite a bit talked about what's a key ingredient when we are trying to select somebody and say this person, or one of the key ingredients, this person is somebody that I can be with for the long term. And so her biggest suggestion was, as a couples therapist, is find somebody that you can grow with. How important is that?
It's, if you have a growth mindset and you want a thriving relationship, you have to want to grow as a couple and you have to want to grow individually. And, you know, loving each other through that growth, that separate growth as well, I think it's essential. So It's finding somebody to grow with. Yes, for sure. That has the same mentality as far as self-growth too.
Have you read the book, The 7 Principles for Making a Marriage Work by Dr. John Gottman?
No.
Oh, it is a big boy. What this book is, and I think everybody should read it. This book is fantastic because I think it, even if you're not in marriage, if you're dating, these are major red flags that you can probably begin to notice in your dating life to avoid the actual pain of getting married to somebody you shouldn't have married.
Mm.
Good. So I think there's one thing in particular that you want to pay attention to. I think it's called the 4 of the 5 Deadly Horsemen. And that's probably chapter 3, chapter 4 of the book. It's a fantastic book. It's available on audio. And Dr. John Gottman has literally spent a lifetime researching relationships. And most of the time you look for a marriage counselor, they'll actually have in there Gottman trained.
Ooh.
Or a therapist. I've met, you know, so like a marriage therapist. And so a lot of people will look for Gottman trained therapists because you can go through workshops because he's got it down so good. And the scary thing is, when you go through this book, you might have some real revelations about the relationship you're in. And that's fucking terrifying for people to get to go there, right?
Yeah. It's the awareness that maybe this isn't the relationship for me. And then it's okay, that realization. And then I feel like once you know that, you have to act on it, or you don't, and you're just miserable eventually. But the realization then comes with actually having to do something about it.
You said miserable eventually. I don't think people recognize what miserable eventually means and the significance of it. So let me paint a little bit of a picture. You're 22. I'll take a girl as an example. I'll take a female role here. You meet this guy and you're ignoring or aren't even paying attention because you're not mature enough to recognize it. Dude's a douche. Now you got some significant issues here. Now you get knocked up. You have 2-3 kids with this douche. And now you're 30 and now you're a woman. And you're recognizing 8 years later that you literally fucked up big time. Maybe even knew it when you were 22, but just ignored it because you didn't want to go back into the dating world. This was good. That was good. And that literally was more of a pro than a con in your mind. And so talk to the women who are 30, 35, 40, who made bad decisions and what that looks like in the long-term pain that they traded off for short-term pain. And so what that means is now I have 3 kids. Now I'm 35. Now this dude's a fucking deadbeat dad. And vice versa, by the way. And now how am I going to make money? Now I got to date again. Now I got to try and find somebody. And so all these things are real realities. I'm not trying to paint anxiety for folks, but why I'm bringing this back full circle, because I say it with my heart and love. These are the consequences for not making these decisions.
Yeah. And I think the solution is educating and helping the younger generation like look for the key components of a good relationship. And so, you know, while it might be, it's not too late for somebody in their 30s or 40s to find love. No. I don't believe that, but it's harder.
Sure.
But if they would have known what they know now, then they would have made completely different decisions. So it's like, how can we teach them then about what to look for and what are the red flags, what are green flags, and more so focus on that, because eventually they're
going to be. You and others on social media are doing a really good job at it. I really think that people villainize social media, but I think a lot of great things and evolution is coming out of social media. And so we can't look to our parents for every answer, because your parents are in a relationship, like they just love each other, but they're not in love. And you can hear it, the difference between the people, like, hey, how are your parents' marriage? Oh my God, they love each other. They've been like, but you and my father loves you. My mother loves him so much. They're best friends. They were a wonder to grow up with. And they just, oh God, they're so in love. It's 40 years. He still gets her flowers every Monday morning and puts her name in syrup on the fucking plate, right? Versus like any, if it doesn't come off like that, let me just give you the very true conversationalist here for you. Your parents are not in love. They just stayed together because it was easier.
Well, I think, they also grew up in a generation that is different than ours. So for me to expect my parents to have the same beliefs that I do now, it's, you know, it's kind of silly of me. So I have to take their advice, their views, their perspective with a grain of salt and say, you know, I do believe in fundamentally what you're saying, but it's such a different world now than it was then. And so while it might, some of those principles might apply, it's just, it's represented differently in society today.
Well, sure. I mean, you think about it. I was in South Dakota, no, I'm sorry, Wyoming, and we were in Evanston, Wyoming, when I asked them, hey, what do you guys do here for fun? He literally told me there's a buffalo behind the fence about 2 miles that way. You should go look at that. And I swear to God, I was like, oh, I've never seen a buffalo behind a fence. And there was a fucking buffalo behind a fence. I remember FaceTiming my kids like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm looking at a fucking buffalo behind a fence eating a fucking Jimmy John shit sandwich. And I said to my friend Justin, I was having lunch with him. I said, no, there's nobody here. It's like, what do you have to choose from in a partner if you're not leaving Evanston? 50 fucking girls, 50 boys. And out of that, you've got to whittle down and try to find somebody at least on your playing ground. You're a six, she's a six, sevens, eights, right? What do you have? Three good looking people here to find the two good looking boys and hopefully their personalities match in some miraculous way? It's fucking crazy. So I look at that versus I can tell you why girls in New Jersey don't settle down until they're fucking 31.
Because they don't have
options are endless. And you gotta go through all these fucking people till you find somebody who is meeting 90% of your criteria.
Yeah.
Right? Like nine, nobody can get 100%, but we're talking about 90. Don't settle for a 60. Go for a 90. It's like five and a half.
Actually, I just had a conversation with a client about this, and I told him to make a list of non-negotiables for him. So what are like really big core values that you will refuse to not settle for? So things like respect and loyalty, like, you know, like values like that you look for that are non-negotiables. And then what are preferences? Because the preferences are something that you can bend a little bit on. As far as the non-negotiables, those are something that you shouldn't bend on because those are the things that later on down the line will cause more of an issue than, you know, if you bend a little bit on what you prefer. I think, you know, if you are in touch with those core values of your non-negotiables, then maybe you would, you know, be a little bit more yes and no when it comes to deciding and not giving everybody a chance, but, you know, looking for those non-negotiables and then also those preferences. It's okay to have preferences, but, you know, not everybody's going to check every box.
Tell me about impatient versus disciplined when it comes to dating relationships.
Mm.
When I say those two words, what does that do in your mind?
That makes me think, you know, if you're impatient and you just want to be married, you just want to be a wife, then you're going to, or, you know, a husband, you're going to bend on some of the non-negotiables.
Discipline. You're going to forfeit the discipline to satisfy the anxiety that, oh my God, somebody needs to knock me up. Listen, I know somebody who literally said to me, and this is, I'm not going to keep it very, very vague. You know, I'm getting older. I want to have babies with a person who literally couldn't be a worse fucking pick. But they were just like, it just is what it is. I'm in my early 30s. I don't have much time left and I want to have kids. This is a really bad idea. I can't emphasize that enough. And so let me show you the friends that I have in their early 40s and late 30s that now are spending days in family court, fighting the torment, the fighting for child support, the kids who are stuck in the middle because these two fucks can't get their heads right and start using these kids as pawns to get back and forth at one another. So this is why it's important to stick to your disciplines, because my suggestion is, and this is the first thing I start with people, is when you're picking somebody and you start seeing somebody, do your friends like them?
Well, because I feel like people don't think about that stuff when they get together. They think of short term. Okay, if you're looking for a life partner, you have to think, okay, what's my non-negotiable? I want a family. Do they want a family? Cool. Okay, they do. So is this person going to be a good future, like, spouse, and they're going to be a good dad or a mom to my kids? Like, you have to think about that stuff. And I think people don't. I think people think, oh, this is fun. And like, he's cool. Like, he's good looking. We have fun together. Sex is great. Yeah. Okay. But like, long-term wise, it's just, I think
crazy. That. I know people that are literally in couples counseling while they're engaged or before they're engaged. People who are not married, have no kids, don't live together, and are in fucking couples counseling. My first therapist, I don't want to say her name in case anybody doesn't know who she is. We would discuss these things because she really wasn't getting to what I needed to get to. So we started having a conversation. And she's like, literally, I want to tell 95% of people that walk through this door, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. Guys, what are we doing? You should have never married in the first place. What the fuck are we doing here? You gotta beat a dead horse, or we're just gonna call it quits. We've been here a fucking year now, and there's no progression. You're a narcissist. She's insecure. There's anxiety. He's depressed. All these things. What are we doing here? You guys don't belong together. Just face fucking facts.
Well, I think if there's issues, there's always going to be issues in relationships. It's just part of relationships. But there needs to be a willingness to work through the issues and to take personal accountability and responsibility for your part in the issue. But I think people always play the blame game and he said, she said, instead of saying, okay, I know this is a problem between us. So how can I show up differently? How can I show up better? How can I grow? How can I heal past trauma to show up as a better partner for you? But I don't think people think that way. I think they like to blame everything on the other person and not take actual accountability for their part in it. And so I think, a lot of times couples therapy doesn't work because people don't take personal responsibility for showing up.
But it goes back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Fucking chose somebody against what we want to say are, these are my moral character codes that I need to fulfill. You need to have these qualities to be married to me. And I gotta fucking tell you, you want to know if you're really in love, you want to pretend that you are, wait till you have a kid. So I'm going to say this. Earlier you said love doesn't take care of everything. The reality is it actually does. And the problem is many people don't know it because they've never experienced it. So when there is unconditional love in a relationship, which I'd actually argue that less than 10% of couples are actually in love with each other. Like, just think about the average of that, less than 10% of couples. And I'm probably being very generous with that, to be quite honest with you. I can tell you from experience that love, being in love, it really, 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 on top of all those good moral qualities that we talked about, will essentially be the thing that gets both of you through the most difficult times in your life. And so people say, well, you got to work at a relationship. You got to put work into it. Not when you're in love. It's so natural. It's so easy. It's so wonderful. And it sounds so fucking crazy. People think it's such bullshit because they've never experienced it. When you talk to somebody who's in love, I just saw a video the other day of a guy who's 93. I think I saw it yesterday. And I said, what's the, somebody asked about his life. He goes, I married the love of my life. I was fortunate enough. Did you see this video? I sit on a park bench. And he said, my wife passed away many years ago. And I just exist now. I'm just waiting to join her in heaven. And he said, I literally have one of the best women there ever was. And so to me, there was probably real heartache and heartbreak there. And I don't think this gentleman, from what I can tell, was somebody who just accepted it for what it was. He was one of the very few that actually got to experience what it was like to be in love. And here's the good news for everybody. You're right. It's never too late. And there's not just one person. This soulmate thing is complete bullshit. I think there's very few people. And that's what makes the work so important, to sift through all this and try and have this one say, you know what? I don't think I'm going to marry you. So let's move on with our lives. And let's go find those people for you and for me. I get it. I like the thing that you do and you like the thing that I do when we do those things. That's great. But let's stop trying to qualify this as something it's not. Let's just stop pretending, you know?
Yeah. And I think when we force it to be something it's not is when issues arise. Or, if one person's trying to prove their worth to the other person. I think one of the big kind of beliefs that I think about, like, you should always think that you should hold your person in high regard. Like, I want to think the world of my person. I want to be inspired by them. I want to be motivated by them. So if you're, I mean, if you're with somebody who's not inspiring you, who isn't, you know, who you don't think highly of, then why are you with them?
Because it goes back to like deep rooted insecurity. Typically, most of the stuff and why we're in where we're at is due to childhood trauma and childhood issues. It's like crazy. Like everything that you learn now, like 40 and really get into that. Every man at like 40 starts to like reflect back on life and how do we end up the way we are? And you're just like, God damn, like it's from my fucking childhood. My therapist is like, that's because your mother did that. I'm like, motherfucker, does anything not go back to my fucked up childhood? You know what I mean?
I agree. But I think it's the awareness of that maybe. And then to go back and decondition ourselves from the ways that we've been brought up to think or the things that we did to survive, you know, toxic childhood, whatever that may look like. It's having the self-awareness enough to know, hey, I have some trauma that I learned from my past and I want to unlearn it. But if you don't have that awareness, then, you know, it's a lose-lose. You can't expect somebody to have the awareness when they don't.
That is Natalie Bell date now.
How do I date now?
I'm just saying, like, do you drink your own fucking Kool-Aid here? Or are you just forfeiting that shit?
I think you have to practice what you preach as far as the way that I share. If I wasn't authentically myself on social media and wasn't actually that person in real life, I just wouldn't be able to, like, I wouldn't be able to do that. I wouldn't be able to be who I am. But you know, I have my like big beliefs relationship wise, and you know, I've been through my fair share of getting hurt. And so I have perspective. I don't do dating apps at all.
No. By the way, like, I don't know if there is, and I'm going to say this too. I think for some people, it's a fantastic idea.
I agree.
I really think that it's a real resolution for some people. And I think for some people, it's a horrific idea. And I think traditionally, going out and being social is way better for some people than it is. But if you're an introvert and you can't talk to people and da da da, this makes it easy and you can. But let me just warn everybody: the reason it is so dangerous is because none of it is real.
It's so surface level.
It is surface level. There's an opportunity to be a little more compatible in some sense, and I think that again, for some people, it's a great resolution and solution. But I also have to think about, do people, or are people qualified? This may sound fucking crazy. Are people mature enough to be dating in general? That sounds crazy, but the reality is, like, we talk about being mentally well, being mature enough to understand what a good relationship is. You know, how far can a relationship from when you're 21 carry you? You should be very cautious of your ability to judge a relationship for both men and women.
Yeah, I think. I think when you're that young, it's a different mentality when you're young and have an immature view of relationships and dating as you do when, you know, you mature a little bit. Maybe you've, you know, dated a few people that are not, that you know aren't great for you. Then you have more of a perspective of what you actually want. And that usually doesn't happen until a little bit later, like, you know, in your 20s and 30s. So it's, you know, trusting how you're feeling in a relationship, but also like having the tools to know or the education to know like what to even look for in a relationship. So I think that's what is missing from like young dating is the knowledge and the education. Like I almost want there to be a class in, you know, high school or college that's mandatory of, you know, relationships and dating and what to look for in a partner. And I mean, because
if it's told by the right person, right? Like
right.
Because now teacher taught me economics in high school. He had no fucking business teaching me economics. If he knew economics or how to like invest in stock, and he maybe know the principles of it, but like you better be giving me fucking business advice because you're a fucking teacher, no offense. Right? Don't business advice and go to Warren Buffett.
Right.
But so when we say that there's a solution to that, there may be, but maybe from the right resources, right place, because if we're saying that 90%, it's a generous number, don't know what love is and what it means, and maybe know what a healthy relationship is supposed to look like when there's not love and how to keep some fucking bullshit afloat. It's very different than selecting a partner. And so people, it goes back to my same thing. You must know who you are first before you're able to offer yourself to somebody. And so if you recognize that you're riddled with anxiety, this is a big problem. Because what you will do when you're an anxious person is stay in fucking relationships way too long because you're keeping your anxiety at bay. So what happens is the leverage tips and that other person beside it has complete control over you. What happens?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. It's the unfortunate truth.
We didn't finish. Tell me how you date now. Tell me about, you know, you said you're not doing dating apps. Let's go there. I just want to know, like, tell me about how you met the last guy you talked to or the guy you're talking to now. I don't fucking know.
I've actually met a decent amount of men through social media in the DMs.
How did that go? And how do you fucking allow that to go? Yeah, you know what? You're all right. Because that's got to be some kind of service level shit, right?
Totally. I mean, I think, you know, it's you have to admit that like physical appearance is something that strikes people right away. I mean, you want to be physically attracted to your partner. It's an essential part of my physical, I'm physical touch as a love language. So like I want to feel attracted to who I'm with. And so of course, like, you know, physical appearance is big. And you know, a little banter here and there via social media and the DMs, like how you were saying wooing versus pursuing. I think, you know, there's wooing at first and then there's a pursuing like, hey, I want to take you on a date or, you know, I'm going to, two of these guys were not actually from Cleveland. So they're like, I want to come see you or I want to come take you out or whatever. And so it's kind of deciphering who to allow in that way. And it's something I feel like because I've gotten in touch with my non-negotiables and what I'm looking for and my values and what I want. And so I feel like I'm a little bit more intentional with dating in that way. I'm not, you know, every single DM and DM that asks me out, I'm not responding to. But, you know, I think Instagram and social media in general is a good way to shoot your shot. And see if something could stick.
You're fucking dead. Don't you better warn people right now. Like, this is not an invitation for everybody to go on Natalie Bell's Instagram account and start fucking sending her DMs.
It's the truth, though. I mean, I think a lot of people think that way with social media and the DMs. And if you're not on, I say like it's a form of a dating app almost.
Oh, no doubt. I actually think it's better than the dating apps.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, who I am on social media is who I am in real life. And so, you know, people don't know that right away, of course, but I think people are attracted to the way that I carry myself on social media, what I share, how I share. And so if you could convey a piece of yourself to your followers, I think, you know, men can latch on and say, that's the kind of partner that I want. And so I'm going to shoot my shot.
No question about it. And I think there is always something very refreshing about a woman, to your credit, who is that in touch. Because I think men are looking for somebody who's has stability, intelligence, but it depends where you're at in life.
Right.
So I completely understand that because, you know, and then the bonus is physical appearance, right? So like that's an interesting thing there. Well, I genuinely enjoyed this.
I think this was a great conversation. I feel like I have, you know, my own perspective on things. I have, you know, a woman's perspective, and it's good to hear men's perspective too. Like, and to, you know, this conversation is going to make my content better because I learned from everybody around me, but people that, you know, I look up to or, you know, challenged by, I think it allows me to grow in my own mindset and perspective too. So I appreciate, you know, you sharing what you shared and the way that you did and bringing up certain topics that are sometimes uncomfortable for people to talk about or listen to. That's the stuff that matters. And so I appreciate you.
Well, anyway, thanks for being here on the podcast. We'll fucking do this shit again and promise you'll come back.
Yes, I promise I will come back. I love the...
Where can people find you, by the way, on Instagram and TikTok?
Yeah, my Instagram is NatalieBell9. My TikTok is Natalie_Bell.
Cool. Appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
Hey guys, check out our upcoming training at StreetCop.com. Don't forget, we have 50 instructors nationally teaching a variety of topics. These are the best classes you're going to experience in your career. We make sure of it. You're going to love it. I guarantee you, you're going to be thankful that you went. Check us out at StreetCop.com for all upcoming classes in your area.